Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. You know, sometimes we learn the most when we learn through controversy. And today's gospel shows a debate between Jesus and the Pharisees over the meaning of the third commandment. The debate was sparked by some comments from the Pharisees when they accused Jesus' disciples of breaking the commandment by doing what was unlawful on the Sabbath. In their religious pride, these Pharisees thought they knew better than Jesus what God had intended by this commandment. As true God come in the flesh, however, this was not the case. Jesus knew a lot more about this than his critics did, because what they didn't know is that as true God, Jesus had authored the Ten Commandments. Before we get deeper into the issues of the Sabbath, you need to first understand something, that the term keeping the Sabbath day holy doesn't communicate well to our modern ears. To many of us, it just doesn't mean anything. It's so unfamiliar in its terminology. For those who are unfamiliar, they might ask, well, what is the Sabbath day and how do I keep it? And so I'm going to suggest that there is an easier way to look at this, an easier way to frame the question. And the question is simply this: when and why do I make time for God and for God's word in my life? Because the Sabbath really boils down to that. When and why do we worship God? Now, to complicate matters just a little further, you know the original Sabbath day was Saturday, not Sunday as we Christians customarily observe it. That has confused some Christians. It's caused some to wonder if we keep the commandment as we should. The truth is, we cannot keep this commandment, nor can we keep any of the other commandments as God intended them, no matter how hard we try. But we must remember the good news. The good news of the gospel is that Christ kept this commandment and every commandment perfectly in our place. He fulfilled the entire law perfectly and carried it out to perfection on our behalf. And then he transferred that righteousness that belonged to him to us by faith, so that now God sees you and I holy in his sight, as if we kept these commandments perfectly every day. Now, even though Christ has done that, even though he has fulfilled the commandment for us, now that he has forgiven the sins we have committed against every commandment, we need to remember the commandments still have their place in the Christian life. In fact, we look to the commandments for guidance for the Christian life. But the ceremonial aspects of the Old Testament commandments, such as having to observe the Sabbath on a Saturday, those things have been done away with since Christ came. Christ has set us free from those laws, those rigid regulations, those requirements of the Old Testament. And yet we still keep the commandment, because as Christians we recognize that there is spiritual wisdom in these commandments, and that there is also a spiritual benefit to keep the Sabbath day. Only now we realize that any day of the week works as a day to worship God. And so in Christian freedom, the church early on chose Sunday as the day that we would honor God through worship, as a memorial to our Lord's resurrection, the day he rose from the dead as he put away our sins. But let's go back a little further than that. Let's go back to the original purpose for the Sabbath day of rest. God called his people to rest from their labors, even as God rested from his labors on the seventh day of creation. Now, that sounds silly in one sense because God has no need of rest. But what we mean by that is simply this. God stopped all his creative activity on the seventh day, and he stood back and he admired the beauty and the goodness of everything he had just created in those 6 days for you and I to enjoy. And so the seventh day, the Sabbath, was originally intended as that day when we would rest and reflect on God's goodness in our lives. When sin entered the world, it also became that time when we would reflect on God's grace and his promise to send his Son into the world to be our Savior. After the fall into sin, the Sabbath also would serve an additional purpose. It would provide much needed time during the week for the body to heal and to recover from the strain of hard physical labor. But that alone is not the purpose for why most of us have Sundays off from work. The far greater purpose of the Sabbath, its sacred purpose, is that God wanted to provide you with spiritual rest and holy refreshment that would be gained through your regular and frequent use of God's word in your life. And what makes the Sabbath so much more restful than sleep or any recreational activity is that it reflects on God's unconditional love for you in Christ. Because that is what true rest is. True rest is to know that you and I have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus. Now, in the broader sense, this commandment encompasses more than just our giving God 1 hour, 1 day out of the week. Keeping the Sabbath in its truest sense would require that we would make time for God every day and every hour and every minute and indeed every second that our hearts beat. And if you think about it, why wouldn't the God who made all time, the God who gives us all of our years on this earth, why would we not expect him to want us to make time for him? And yet, despite that, the Sabbath in the Old Testament and now Sunday in the New Testament is really for your benefit, not for God's. Because despite the fact that we owe it to God to make time for him in our lives, and we all know that, you see, God really made this time for you and not for himself. You see, God really doesn't need us like we need him. He doesn't need our attention. He doesn't need our acknowledgement of him if he is to remain God. God remains God without our help. But we need God. If we are going to remain spiritually whole and alive, we need God. And so God provided what we would need in our new Christian version of the Sabbath, which is Sunday. Because you see, we need the grace that God's word and sacraments provide us as we gather today as God's people. Keeping the Sabbath, for the Christian at least, means that we keep coming back to this place Sunday after Sunday, where we can be refreshed by hearing the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus proclaimed to us. You know, there are so many who just tend to think of Sunday worship as just one more demand on their time. But you need what the Sabbath offers. Sunday worship is for you, my Christian friends. God invented the word and the sacraments for your sake, not for his. You need the forgiveness that you receive here at this altar on Sunday mornings. As often as you take time out of your busy life to meditate on the words of Christ throughout your week. You know, there are so many people these days, even among Christians, who seem to think that our going to church is an obligation that we need to fulfill just to kind of placate God and keep him happy. There may be some sense in which that's true. And yet, I am here to tell you today that when you attend worship, it is far more for your benefit than it is for God's benefit. If you think of going to church as something you have to do for God, then you are like the Pharisees who thought man was made for the Sabbath. But if you view going to church as something that you get to do, something you want to do, something you know that you need for your own spiritual well-being, then you understand why God made this day. Sunday worship honors God, true enough. But worship helps you even more. For ultimately, it's not what we do for God in worship, it's what God does for us during the worship that matters. When we attend church, we are allowing God the opportunity, we are allowing him the occasion to do his work, his sanctifying work of working faith and forgiveness in our hearts and lives. God wants us to be here on this Christian Sabbath so that he can share his gifts of word and sacrament, so that they might bless us and bring peace to our lives. Now, you know and I know there are some people out there that think that we Lutherans are just way too passive during the worship. They think we just don't do enough during the divine service. We just kind of sit there, they say. But there is a good theological reason for why we worship as we do. We come here passively and we sit down when we come to church and we allow God to do his work in our hearts by faith. For you see, worship isn't about our happy, clappy type of worship. It's about what God does and affects through worship. It's about hearing what God has done and is still doing for us in Christ. You need the Sabbath. At least you need the Sunday version of the Sabbath. You need the word and the sacraments that bring you Christ and grace and forgiveness and faith and eternal life. You need these little spiritual sabbaticals, these time outs where you shut out the world for a brief moment and you focus on God's redeeming love for you in Christ. For the word that you hear on Sunday mornings, that's what strengthens you. That's what supports your faith. That's what sustains your relationship to God. We live by this message of God's grace and the hope of Christ. Now, the Pharisees distorted the reasons and purpose of the Sabbath. They perverted the intentions of God because you know what they began to do? They began to work at not working on the Sabbath. The result is they turned the whole concept of rest, the rest that God intended by the Sabbath, into just one more work that people feel they must do for God. By doing this, the Pharisees distorted both the divine interpretation and the holy intention behind the Sabbath. And the Pharisees aren't the only ones that do that. These perversions, this wickedness, is in our heart too. For we constantly try to turn things around so that we turn the free gift of heaven through Christ back into a work that we can somehow earn heaven for ourselves without Christ. Even as Christians, we are just too prone to do this, to turn grace back into some kind of legalistic system of doing works, to revert back to an old way of life that we lived under the law. The rabbinic Jews, they were an interesting group of people. They wrote large books on what you could and could not do during the Sabbath day. In fact, reading their to-do list of what you could and couldn't do, boy, that was exhausting work in itself. And so in essence, what they did is they turned a day of grace into a pathetic human attempt to appease God by their own efforts and works without Christ. Think about it. These Pharisees followed the disciples of Jesus around. They monitored the behavior of Jesus' disciples on the Sabbath. And then they accused them because the disciples rolled a few heads of grain around between their fingers so they could eat a few kernels of wheat. There's a real irony here because it took a lot more effort to monitor that and to make that accusation than to actually eat those grains of wheat. By their accusation against Jesus and his followers, they would turn the Sabbath into something negative instead of something positive and spiritually productive. You see, the Sabbath had always been intended by God to be a blessing to man, and the Pharisees made it a burden to the human conscience. The legalistic Pharisees attempted to burden Jesus and his disciples, telling them they had sinned against this commandment. But Jesus defended his actions from Scripture. He told from the Bible how David and his companions actually entered the holy place, the sacred part of the temple, and ate the bread that was consecrated and set aside as an offering to God. In that Old Testament event, where David and his men took the bread from the temple that belonged to God and to the priest, they went far beyond picking a few heads of grain in the open fields. It was far more bold for David to enter the inner sanctum of the Lord's temple and to take the bread of God on the Sabbath. And Jesus would tell this story to remind the Pharisees that God was not angry, nor was this a sin, for God is about loving and providing for his people, not about condemning us. And this is when Jesus says these magic words. He says to the Pharisees, those legalistic Pharisees, he says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." In other words, God did not create this day to burden you. He created this day to bless you. And in fact, every commandment God created was to bless you. Well, what are the spiritual implications for us? Well, first, you and I need to be careful that we don't become Pharisees, that we don't take things that God intends as grace and unconditional love in Christ and convert them back into law. And that is all too common for Christians to do, to turn grace back into a referendum for guilt. The second thing is that we never view Sunday worship this way. We never view it as some kind of law that we must perform, but we view it as pure grace, that we have this opportunity to gather and to be given these gifts by our Heavenly Father. And finally, we need to remember that going to church is not some miserable event that we put ourselves through on Sunday morning, even if it is for God's sake. The Sabbath day or Sunday is for us, taking time off from work and play so that we can make time for God, allows God the time, the precious time, to work his faith and his forgiveness in our hearts. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.